Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time now for our conversation with Jonathan Jones, defensive back of the New England Patriots. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. On the line right now, Mr. Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, how are we feeling today?
How's it going? Not a good day after a loss, but we kind of got in today and regrouped.
Okay, well, as far as defensive performances go, I think a lot of people sort of remember that first drive and remember the last drive. 20 points to a team in an overtime game where the offense had three turnovers. I mean, does any of that sort of matter in assessing your guys' day on defense?
Kind of, but not really. I mean, at the end of the day, the only goal is to win. And so when you can say that, you know, besides two drives, call it, you know, where we gave up points, we did well. But, you know, those two drives ends up being the reason, you know, we didn't win. So it's just one of those things where you never know when the players are going to come up that matter in the game of football.
I know we always talk about offenses scripting their first series of plays, whatever. And that first drive obviously was not the best defense you guys have played. Do you guys go in with a sort of specific script of how you expect that first drive to go and sort of what happened on that drive? Why did it go so sideways and look so bad early on?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we go to the extent of scripting as far as offense does, you know, call it 10, 15 plays. But, yep. You know, there's some early calls that we like to get ran that, you know, the DC will tell us, you know, hey, I'm looking to call this and these are some things I want to get done. But on the first drive, I mean, we got them to a 3rd and 13, and you know, those situations like that where you have to get off the field, that gives the offense momentum, gives them a chance to keep going, you know, in their scripted plays, and just not being able to get off the field when we had an opportunity.
I couldn't tell just from watching, so forgive my ignorance, but were you moving around again yesterday? Did they have you sort of roaming on the defensive side like you did 2 weeks ago when you were at safety and nickel corner and everything? Was that part of the game plan this week too?
I ended up having to play a little safety with Duggar not being there, and so that was just something, like I said, part of the plan going into the game.
Who are some of the tougher matchups that you've seen this year? Because clearly, you know, a guy like Ridley, who was a big free agent, you had to go against Wilson and Adams and some of those guys in the previous weeks, you know, Christian Kirk, all these guys. How would you characterize the wide receiver play in the NFL this year?
Oh, I feel like there's a lot of good guys out there. There's a lot of teams with multiple guys. For the most part, most people talk about the number one guy, but the game's usually won between two and three, those other guys, tight ends. It's just a lot of good matchups out there this year.
What were your thoughts on the final play from the offense in regulation to push it to overtime? How excited were you to watch from the sidelines to see a play that lasted almost 12 seconds? And did you sympathize with a defense that was trying to cover in the red zone for 12 seconds?
Man, we were cheering those guys on. Just the resilience they showed on that drive to, you know, make plays, you know, back against the wall. Drake finding a way to scramble around, guys staying open, moving around, offensive line, you know, not going downfield, the little things, not getting the holding penalty. So much that goes into a play like that, and just for those guys to go out and execute. But from a defensive standpoint, I definitely wouldn't want to be on the other side of that.
Do you guys feel like you have to cover for a long time out there? I mean, it seems like up front there's not as much pressure getting put on some of these quarterbacks. I know they sacked Rudolph once yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, I know, had a pretty easy day. Do you feel like you have to overcompensate for that sometimes?
No, I think a lot of time that comes down to the whole team aspect. You know, we got to get starting fast to make teams have to get into drop back situations, make them abandon the run, you know, so we can pin our ears back and get after the quarterback. You know, when teams are able to feel like they can continue to run the ball, not feel pressure, not be down, you know, by two scores in the first quarter or so, you just make it easier for the team. And so our job, we just have to get out, put pressure on teams, you know, make them have to come back, drop back, make the quarterback feels like he has to make, you know, incredible throws to give us an opportunity and give the D-line an opportunity to get pass rush.
As viewers, I think we often get frustrated when we see games with 20-plus penalties between two teams, whether it's, you know, the Patriots or just a national TV game. As a player, do you feel like you know how the games are officiated? Do you feel like you go into games with a good awareness of what that crew will do and what some of the challenges might be in avoiding penalties?
Yeah, coach does a good job of giving us a heads up of, you know, what crews like to call, and what, you know, what they're high on calling throughout this season. And so the biggest thing is just seeing how they call in the game. You know, after the first quarter, first, you know, couple of drives, you can see if they're making, you know, tic-tac calls, you know, small calls that you're saying, hey, you know, most referees would let us get away with that. And then you have to do a good job of adjusting. And so that's kind of on our part as players, is to see how the game's being officiated and adjust to it.
We're talking with Jonathan Jones here, defensive back, New England Patriots. Jonathan, how engaged is Coach Mayo with the defense on the sideline? It seemed like he was talking to you guys a lot more this week, at least by what the cameras picked up.
Yeah, I mean, he's always engaged. I think he does a good job of getting, you know, guys up when they need to be up, versus offense and defense, and that's something that he's harped on, you know, whether it's the offense cheering on the defense cheering on the offense, just getting excitement, getting the corrections, and just staying into the game, you know, being ready for every situation. He's done a good job of that.
Jonathan, I know the wins are not coming as you would like or anybody on this team would like, but it seems like we're seeing a team that is fighting to the finish, is staying engaged. Just wondering what you see in that locker room in terms of energy and effort and attitude and some of the things that you can control.
Yeah, it's, you know, surprisingly, I would say, especially in the NFL, this is a closed locker room still. You know, the guys are still hanging in there. We realize that the games that we're losing, you know, we're having an opportunity to win them. And that just comes with, you know, us as a team finding ways to win. You know, in this league, wins are hard to come by. And that's just building a culture of winning, going into games expecting to win, and not sticking our toe in the water. And so guys are definitely still bought in, and it's good to see that, you know, when we go out to practice, guys are still practicing hard, and it's just still good energy in the locker room.
Jonathan, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this weekend in Chicago.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Jonathan Jones joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. And how about this for another quick turnaround this week? We're joined here in studio by Drake Mays, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next-day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake, how are we doing this week?
What's going on, dude? All right.
How you feeling? How's the body? How's the head? How's everything?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. You know, came out of the game feeling all right. You know, I think that's the best thing. You know, I think we're overall pretty healthy as a team, and we got to find a way to win. You know, we came up short, and looking forward to trying to get another chance next week.
Can you add some clarity to how last week went for you in terms of the protocol? I know you made a comment post-game about maybe you stumbled in the balance test with the turf and the cleats. Just can you just take us through whatever the hell happened last week?
Yeah, I think, you know, the spotter got me from up top, and then from there, you know, was kind of going through the testing on the sideline. They kind of deemed I wasn't, you know, good to go back, and from there was just trying to find a way to get back. I wanted to go back out there, you know, last Sunday. I'm just trying my hardest to get back out there this week, and I got through the protocol to do some testing this week, but just glad I got to get back out there and compete with the guys.
Have you had concussions before, like in college or high school or anything?
Not reported, so not that I know.
Okay, well, I mean, you know if you felt it again, I guess is the point. Like, did you think you had one?
I think I definitely took a hit to the head. You know, I'm not 100% sure if, you know, the testing, I think what the NFL does is, you know, to protect those quarterbacks. And obviously, recently with what's happened with some of the quarterbacks around the league getting hit in the head, it's an emphasis for them. I think it's up to them, and I think they do a good job of protecting us. And the protocol is a, you know, great way for players to, you know, really see, like, if they're ready to go back out there and play. And, you know, y'all saw this past Sunday, I was good to go.
Speaking of protecting quarterbacks, a lot of places teach sliding, and you obviously got hit on a slide from behind sort of late. We've seen guys get hit front, back, side, late slides. Did you change anything this week? We didn't see any slides. Are you maybe evaluating it's safer to go head first, safer to kind of go forward?
I think the organization and especially the offensive side, the coaches are doing a good job of harping on in certain situations, when it's best to go head first, when it's best to kind of slide. I think I slid once and maybe should have gone head first there, but just trying to protect my body and protect being out there for the team, and the coaches do a nice job of emphasizing it, and they know that it's a big deal. So I'm not really worried. I'm gonna keep playing the same way as we're out there every Sunday. I'm not gonna change the player that I am, and I think when you're 1-on-1 with the safety on that first run, and you kind of gotta you know where the hit's coming from. It's a little different. So there's different scenarios, and it's really hard to play. Kind of play them all out. So split second decision for me, and when it's third down, or you got to have it with that last drive, I'm gonna get what I can, and I'm using big 6'5" dude. So.
Before we get on to any more football questions, what do you think of the new set? What do you think of the chairs here instead of the desk? Did you even notice it was different?
Yeah, I did. I kind of like the other setup a little better.
You like it better? This is a lot more like, we're all right on top of each other.
I feel like we should have a beer, though, or a drink with us. Yeah. We're waiting in like a club or something.
It's a little
like bottle service is coming over.
It is a little tight. I asked, I was like, how's he going to get in? If he trips and gets hurt in here, I'm not taking the blame for him. Oh, we'd definitely take the blame for that.
Probably.
100%. You know that we would. All right, so with that out of the way, you're in the protocol during the week. You're limited in practice. Were you at all concerned that not being able to complete all the practices and get all the reps this week in practice might reveal itself somehow during the game?
No, I don't think so. I think you're behind there watching practice. First Wednesday, I got 30 minutes, and you use those 30 minutes wisely. In reps where, I'm not getting touched anyway as a quarterback, so I think it's a little easier for quarterbacks to go through the protocol. You're not getting touched in your red jersey out there regardless. I really wasn't really worried. I feel like I had a good 2 days of practice Thursday and Friday out there with the guys, and then felt good going into the game. So.
Okay, so we've sort of buried the lead here. You had a play yesterday that was kind of the talk of the football world, 11.82 seconds on that throw that ended up being the touchdown to Ramondre Stevenson. Take us through what is going through your mind when you are moving left, right, forward, up. That's a long time before you throw a football in the red zone.
Yeah, I think I missed Hunter probably in the first second or two in the back end zone on the end line. So probably could have had that play over a lot faster.
That wouldn't have been cool though.
But yeah, they dropped cover two down there, and they dropped the popper out too. So they really dropped eight and rushed three. So just trying to find a way to keep the play alive. Once I missed Hunter in the back, and then Hunter ended up stepping out of bounds. So it was good for him. I think at the point waved to me not to throw to me one. At one point, so just trying to stay alive. I think Madre did a nice job of playing like a receiver, and credit to those guys up front for continuing to fight through the play, and those guys, the receivers and running backs, just trying to find a way to make a play.
The longer it goes, are you reaching oh crap status, or do you feel like, well, they're going to let somebody open up sooner or later?
Yeah, I think it's more of a, hey, somebody's going to pop open here soon. Yeah. I think you just got to evade some defenders sometimes, and Madre made a nice play.
Yeah, that was a tremendous play. I mean, it's really going to be one of those ones that people talk about all year. I know it was a play that happened in a loss, but in terms of your, three starts that you made so far, does that one kind of stand out? That was a big moment. Zeros on the clock, like that had to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sitting at the overtime and, getting those guys down there for, a big drive to, extend the game was huge, but obviously at the end of the day, we didn't win the football game, and that's a disappointing factor.
Did you want to go for two there? Were you ready to go for two there?
I was just trying to catch my breath. I think it was tough. So much emotion and so much energy that we brought in that long drive. I think we only started at the 50, but it was like 11 or 12 plays. So I was just so tired and exhausted from just. I think I ran off to the sideline right after that. So I think it's in hindsight, it's easy to look back and say, after a loss. But I think we made the right decision.
Was there debate? Was there guys on the sideline saying, "Come on, let's go for two. Let's do it. Let's do it." And Mayo shut it down or what?
I don't remember anything like that. I think. I think in that scenario, I think you play for overtime. Our defense will be on the sideline, whatever the coaches decide. I think looking back, I would do the same thing. So I think it's a hindsight either way you look at it. If we go for it and we don't win, then everybody's like, what are we doing? So I think I was so exhausted just getting to the sideline, trying to catch my breath.
On the play that ended the game, I think you called it a dumb decision last night in your postgame press conference. A couple questions there on specifics. Did Kendrick Bourne falling down affect that? Do you think that safety was able to leave him and maybe create a problem you didn't see? And how much did wind play a factor in maybe it being underthrown?
Yeah, I think KB, maybe, it's hard to kind of predict that. Maybe could have held the safety a little more, but you know, I think I still, you know, I think, you know, my wind answer, what I said last night, was kind of off of reaction. I don't think, you know, wind with the quarterback, and I don't think he plays that big a factor. So really, I think he just underthrew it. I got to put it out there more for Booty, and I'll let him go make a play. So really, I think this is just my decision making, and maybe sometimes maybe throw it away there, or if not, you know, from our opposite 40, maybe try to throw it in the end zone and have a, you know, Booty maybe try to catch it over the shoulder. I think, you know, really, I don't think the win ended up being that big a deal. I think it was more just my reaction after the game to make myself feel better.
Well, whatever.
Appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that is that's definitely honest. The play call there, obviously, to go take a deep shot downfield. You still had some time left. It was first down. Any second thoughts on that after seeing how it ended?
Well, I like taking a shot. I think I like taking a shot to go for it. You know, steal the game. And I think I had him. You know, I mean, shoot, I had him. And you know, whether or not, you know, KB staying up or not affects that safety. You know, I still had eyes on him and saw him. And I think once he fell, he made it, you know, drift towards the middle of the field more. But at the same time, I think I had a chance at Booty and got to step into it more.
We always talk about a young quarterback like every rep matters, experience, learning. But are you legitimately learning from the interception that was a little late over the middle under pressure or the fumble? Like, do you feel like you're banking experiences of what not to do when the stove is hot and how not to touch it again?
Yeah, I think just storing those mistakes and learning from them and hopefully not be repeat offender of these mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing that Coach Mayo preaches is not, you know, being a repeat mistake guy. And that's what I'm trying to do back there in these games and these plays that turn out to be, you know, huge for the outcome of the game. Like you said, I think, you know, there's multiple times that first drive, taking a sack and getting us out of field goal range or making the field goal farther for Joey makes it tough. The interception on third down, we got a chance to punt them inside the 10 and maybe flip the field and, you know, when we get the ball back. So little things like that can go a long way into impacting the game. I think, you know, you're learning in that and realizing, hey, you know, not every play needs to be a, you know, a home run.
Is there a fine line there, though, staying aggressive and not being afraid, you know, not throwing everything away unless the guy's wide open? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
still being a playmaker?
I think there definitely is. I think that side of me, I'm not going to lose ever. I think that's hard. You know, take away the playmaker and the aggressiveness of me. So just being smarter with when not to be, I think that's the biggest thing.
We've asked you questions about feeling like a leader. You said that you do and that the quarterback kind of has to. After that throw at the end, after the game was over, it seemed like a lot of guys were coming up to you and talking to you, trying to pick you up like that. And then after the game, a lot of your teammates had a lot of nice things to say about you. Do you feel as though you're becoming more of a leader in the locker room and that it's starting to become sort of a thing in that room, in that space? Is that developing more as the season goes on?
Yeah, I appreciate those guys, you know, for you're coming over and saying things to me and, you know, telling me to keep my head up. You know, that goes a long way, you know, especially at the quarterback and a decision like that at a time in that point in the game where we're into the game. It was tough. I think, you know, just more. I'm going to be harder, you know, myself than probably anybody's going to be harder on me. So that's the mindset I try to keep. And, you know, I think there's another step I can take in leadership-wise. And I got to go, make some plays and, kind of be smarter with the football. I think that'll go a long way and kind of earn the guys' trust and respect. But I think I got respect in that locker room with those guys and kind of earn it throughout the year and kind of can make the next step in being some vocal and do little things with teammates to kind of be that quarterback leader that everybody wants.
You almost got to 100 yards yesterday, I believe all on scrambles. I think AVP's talked a little bit, not a ton of designed runs yet. Would you like to see some more designed runs incorporated into the offense to utilize your skill set?
No, I think kind of just dropping back there and hey, if they're not, you know, taking advantage of the rush lanes and little things like that, I think I find enough ways to kind of make plays with my feet and trying to extend plays and, you know, hit pop on a crosser late over the middle, so extending plays. So I think, you know, play like that, I think we've had enough of that in our offense. You know, I think running the football would be, you know, tough on my body and, taking some hits, extra hits that maybe not need when we got a, you know, big time back like Mondre and those guys, AG and Hasty. When you got back like those guys, especially Mondre, I think you want to give him the ball and let him run rather than me.
All right, we got the Chicago Bears this weekend. You guys are heading out to Chicago on Thursday, Friday. It's the first time you've gone up against one of these other rookie quarterbacks with Caleb over there. Does that little extra there? Is that something you want to maybe ball out a little bit harder? You're going up against another rookie.
Yeah, anytime you go up against somebody, you know, in your class, you know, especially another rookie, I think you want to come up on the winning side. So. Definitely, you know, any week is, you know, this is the most important week of the year because it's this week, and that's what Coach Mayo, what he stated in the team meeting, what he's preaching. So That's the big. That's the biggest thing. You know, I don't think the rookie matchup is. It's cool. It's cool for the league. It's cool for me and Caleb. You know, we grew up and going to camps and seeing each other in high school and then in college and then now. So, it's a pretty cool dynamic. But you know, I think the biggest thing is coming out with the win.
Speaking of cool, I read something online. I'm assuming it's true that Simmons, their big D tackle, said he sought you out and maybe said something to you after the game. That's gonna make you feel good when a guy who's trying to kill you all game comes over and shows you a little respect, especially a guy like that who's a captain, a Pro Bowl talent, been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, I think Big Simmons, Big Jeff is a problem. You know, he's a problem in there, problem inside. He's a great player, and it's pretty cool seeing these guys, you know, around the league. When sure, I was in high school and college, being like, man, that guy's a good player, man. Just watching him on TV and now seeing those guys and playing against him. So I think it's pretty cool to. You know, different throughout the weeks and seeing guys, you know, in the Texans, you know, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and guys like that you're getting to play now and was playing against Rodgers last week. So I think it's, you know, just the NFL is a great place for kids who grew up as a fan like me to go and not be competitors.
Do you think that'll ever wear off? Like, do you feel like, oh, yeah, that guy is just a coworker. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just a coworker.
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever wear off. You know, as a football fan that I grew up and how much I loved, you know, watching these guys play and having them on my fantasy team growing up, I don't think that ever wear off.
All right, quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 new New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This comes to us from Dimitri in Cambridge, who asks, you were in Tennessee this past weekend going to Chicago. What cities have been the best to visit so far as an NFL player, and which ones are you looking forward to visiting?
That's a good question. You know, I think, you know, Nashville's pretty sweet. You know, I grew up in the South, you know, country music fan and barbecue fan, so it was nice being in Nashville. London was pretty cool. It was different. It's kind of different when you got to go over there for a business trip. I thought San Fran was cool because, you know, the weather, such great weather out there. But, yeah, looking forward to getting to Chicago. I think I've been to Chicago one other time. I think my brother Luke played up there one time in college. So, looking forward. I'd probably say Nashville. It's probably been my favorite growing up in the South.
What about college? What was your favorite road game to play, and what was your least favorite for whatever reason?
BC.
Yeah, I never came up here to BC.
Oh, really?
I'm playing this year up here, so okay. I missed it maybe by 1 year. Going to Tallahassee and Florida State was pretty cool. You know, Death Valley and Clemson was a good. We had a night game there that was pretty sweet. Yep. And then my first college game ever, my true freshman year when Sam Howell was playing, played at Virginia Tech. So it's kind of that's I think we were 7th in the country, so that was a big time game. But you know, my least favorite, I wouldn't say, you know, at least I think it's all pretty cool.
Was La Tech intimidating? Because that's Metallica, right? Off to Niv and Niv.
Yeah,
kind of. That place gets rocking.
In the sand.
That must have been a little intimidating. Sam, you go out there.
Yeah, exactly. No, I kind of what it's called the sand.
Sandman or whatever.
Yeah, Sandman. Yeah. So enter Sandman or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there it is. Drake May, thank you so much for the time today. Good luck in Chicago, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right. That is Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Not a big fan of this new setup. I mean, hey, what are you going to do? Take it up with Maddie the Marine. Out there was all his idea. All right, 617-779-7937. There goes Drake May. We'll be right back after Stiz get you caught up on what's trending.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Gerard Mayo this morning with the Greg Hill Show right here in this same room, not in the same setup. They had the desk. We got the chairs. We have to switch back now next week.
I mean, if Drake May asks for us to switch back, I kind of like him.
I kind of like him, too. I can see why he might not. And also, interviewing him sitting right here was a little awkward. It felt like, you ever been like doing like a TV hit and the guy's talking and you have to look at him because if you look at the camera, they're going to look at you and you're like right here and you're like looking at him. That's what it felt like interviewing him. And that was awkward. I felt weird doing that. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not a TV guy. as you can tell, as anyone can tell watching this.
Oh, I thought you meant their prime. Oh,
no.
They put me on prime.
I mean, I was. They want me to be a TV guy. It's just not.
It's not for me.
It's not for me. I'm a radio through and through. That's exactly right.
I will say, I don't think we asked any questions that people are going to be texting me about next week, saying how, I mean, this week, how bad they were and dumb questions.
No. Although, did you notice?
What happened?
You notice the only time he said good question is when I read a question from somebody else? That was the only time. The only time he ever said good question was when I was reading the quarterback question of the week. So maybe that was a little a jab there. But otherwise, I thought he was very forthcoming about all of that. I was definitely trying to get him to say something, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't go
he's
after
smart.
The play calling, the offensive line, the receivers, nothing. I mean, he's got that down. He knows. And I think it comes natural to him.
Yep.
I think as a leader, it comes natural to him. Just to do that and to know, hey, you know, everybody's looking at me. I'm the main focus of this. That's what he was in college, and that's what he is now. He's gone from being the man in college to in the NFL now on a team with not much else really to celebrate. Caleb Williams is on a team with some other very good players.
Absolutely.
Players who have had success in the NFL. Players who have been recognized as the top of their position in the field. Drake May does not have that. He doesn't have anything like that, really, on this team. And he knows it, and he knows that it's going to fall on him to sort of set the tone and set the dialogue and set the culture around here. And that's what he's doing. I think he's doing a good job.
You know what's ironic? You know who I think he would have been perfect for?
Josh McDaniel?
Bill Belichick. Because he has a coach now who wants everybody to ask why, and
right.
I don't think he's a why guy.
No.
I think if his coach tells him to do something,
he's yes sir, no sir.
He does it. And then he explains to the other players why he's doing it, even if he's not sure why he's doing it. I think he is an ultimate leader who also follows, knows the chain of command. Didn't we hear chain of command was an issue for Mac Jones?
Yes.
And Bill Belichick was pissed about it, and he's talking to Raiders friends, and he's calling all these people, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Which, by the way, I thought was so ridiculous.
It was stupid. It was stupid.
You can't call his old coaches.
Whether it's
baby Bill,
yeah.
Come on,
Bill's baby.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed.
Jesus.
But I think he would have been perfect for Bill because I think he has that blend of great leadership, but not to the point where he thinks he's bigger than the leaders above him on the organizational depth chart. And I do think it comes naturally to him. Like the answer about you want more run plays. Well, no, I think it makes sense to not run like I have my body, but like. I don't know whether he believes that or not, but he sounds believable when
he
says it, and that's all that really matters,
sounds
right?
Sounds like he believes it,
that's
yeah.
his job. And Terp, off-air, our producer down here at Gillette, said, I didn't realize how big he is, but he's big in a baby-faced way.
Yeah,
I
big
stand,
and, like, wiry. He's not, like, big
yep,
and
I stand
cute, you know?
By, they list him at 225 now. I think he plays at 235 or 240 at some point in his NFL career.
I think I'm pushing 225 after that wedding this weekend. But
yeah, bra.
I'm getting there. Pretty big. That whole thing, I mean, what Mayo was just saying there and watching that game and sort of going back over it again, all the things I was worried about in the offseason about going after a quarterback like that have come to fruition, and it has nothing to do with him and everything to do with this team and their inability to support him. And I think that that's just so frustrating because it didn't have to be like that. They insisted on it. They insisted, this is the way. We know what we're doing. We're going to bring back this offense, but he's going to lift them all, or, you know, the offensive line's going to get into shape. The wide receivers will get in shape. These coaches who have never coached before, they're going to figure it out in real time. Like, betting on all of those things to happen with a rookie quarterback is just so insane. Like, really, the more the season goes on, the more ridiculous that seems, that they ever thought that was a good way to do it, that they thought that this was the way. And listen, Chicago right now is not going through a good stretch. They're having a real hard time. They're turning on Keenan Allen. It's a whole big thing. Brian's not here, but if he was, you know, he'd be sitting
in the
corner,
he'd be all over it,
rocking back and forth probably after all of that. But, you know, you don't need a lot to prop up Drake May. You needed a lot to prop up Mac Jones. And you saw what happened when you took those things away. You saw what happened when Josh McDaniels left. And you saw what happened when Jacoby Myers went to Vegas and some other things that happened and the new coaching and everything else. You saw how that went sideways. And all of these people in the front office were here and lived through all that. And instead of saying, you know what, we should get a coordinator who's going to be here for the long haul, who we know is good, who's sought after, who's, you know, done it before, and if he hasn't done it before, it's only because he's young and up and coming or something like that.
Yeah.
And a playmaking wide receiver, which there weren't a ton of them out there. You could have done something. You could have swung a trade. You could have drafted somebody else. You know, there's other ways of going about that. They didn't do either one of those things. And it's just, I just don't understand how they didn't learn that lesson after the Mac Jones experience. That's inexcusable to me.
So, do you think a lot of these decisions they made, that I agree with you, a lot of them are really bad, and I think they worked out predictably bad from us as outsiders?
Right.
Like, oh, Chuks Okorafor? a career right tackle, you just assume he's going to be a starting left tackle? Why? Alex Van Pelt hasn't called plays in 15 years. You just assume he's ready to call plays even though no one else wanted him to call plays? Why?
Right.
Now, do you think they blew the decision or knew it was a bad decision and didn't care in a weird way? Or did they think even if it goes wrong, we'll figure it out or we'll fix it? Like, because I can't look at it and think they thought these were good plans.
Right.
They
honestly
can't be that dumb, can
no,
they?
No, I don't think so. But I think I hate to do this because I feel like it's sort of unfair to Jerod Mayo. But Jerod Mayo is kind of the genesis of all of this. Committing to him and putting it in writing and having all that be the case. Jerod Mayo is not some established coach who has a bunch of connections in the NFL and who can bring in all the offensive minds and everybody that he needs, because he's only ever been here. He's only ever been here in New England. That's the only frame of reference that he has. He doesn't know who the offensive minds around the league are, and he doesn't have a relationship with them to bring them in and have them work for him. You could tell that was a big part of the problem in the whole search
but
for
that's
an offensive
Elliot Wolf.
Coordinator. It's Elliot Wolf to an extent, but it's the Crafts. The Crafts committed to Jerod Mayo.
Sure.
They committed to it being a Jerod Mayo regime, and Jerod Mayo's regime is not going to attract those type of offensive coordinators, and you need to think about that when you're drafting a quarterback third overall. I mean, I'm sorry. You just do.
And Curran has pushed back or made excuses for the fact that it was expedited by a year. It was
right.
Supposed to be a two-year finality for Bill Belichick. It got, what would have changed? Like, Jerod Mayo still would not have experiences with other teams.
No,
he wouldn't have this broad Rolodex of references and people. What exactly would have been more prepared following this season than last season?
I don't know. He could have gotten the head start, maybe calling people, cold calling, like a rookie salesman or something.
But couldn't he have done that mid-season last year?
Yeah, probably.
Right?
I'd imagine.
Like,
yeah.
I don't really understand, because this was their plan. This was Robert's plan.
Yep.
Jerod Mayo, 2 years of Bill, and then Jerod. So what was the next step in the plan? Was it always Elliot Wolf? Was it always fly by the seat of our pants and hire a 15-year non-coordinator to be a coordinator? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really understand what could have been better next winter than it was last winter. And that's where I have issues with the totality of the plan. And I do think it's wearing on Jerod Mayo.
I
should have
so
had Stiz get this. I want the last question in the press conference from the Zoom today when our friend Mike Giardi mm-hmm. asked him about why they can't run the ball the last few weeks.
Right.
And he had a short answer and then turned into the effing Joker and giggled his way off camera like he's losing his mind. Kind of. It made me uncomfortable, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean, Jerod?
Yeah.
When we come back, we need to play that audio.
All right, we'll have it for you. 617-779-7937. We got open phone lines. If you would like to continue our discussion, it's basically just a big Drake May show here. However, there was a firing in the NFL today. One coach out the door in New Orleans, Dennis Allen, after I believe it was a 7-game losing skid after they won those first two. Jerod Mayo just had a 6-game losing streak. We'll talk about the coaching carousel, maybe even a little Bill watch coming up.
What the hell was that?
Okay. Stiz, can we get the end of that again real quick? That was as he was leaving.
Yes.
Usually it's like, all right, thanks, guys. See you later. This time it was.
What
starts
is
up
that?
Front. Appreciate it, guys.
Like, does he just think he's effing with Giardi?
I don't know.
Or,
I mean, that was a sincere answer, I think, right? It does start up front, and run blocking's not been good. I don't think it was like a purposefully misleading answer or anything, right?
Yeah. But I would also argue this is the guy that used to stop the next question to continue with the previous answer.
Right.
Now he says it starts up front and goes,
that was a weird laugh.
I think he was laughing at how curt he was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, so he was effing with Giardi, or he knows he's changed his whole approach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it was, I wouldn't say alarming, but it was curious.
Yeah, a little awkward. I mean, listen, he can be awkward sometimes.
Not saying I'd do a background check on him right now or anything because
no.
of what he did, but
he did walk around with a bat.
He did used to have a bat in meetings.
That's true. Like,
Joker had a bat too, didn't he?
Joker had the pencil. Right?
You had a
remember when they
had
met with
pencil,
all the mafia people?
Yeah.
He had the pencil there. Just bam. Makes
broke
it disappear.
The pool stick.
I never saw the first Joker. And I definitely have not seen the second one. I hear it's terrible.
Yeah,
I never saw
probably,
the first one.
Yeah,
the first one's no good
I
either.
I think I saw it either.
No?
No.
It was this big phenomenal thing. All I remember is him dancing down the stairs and me being like, I don't need to see this movie. Like, what do I need to see this for? It's too many superhero movies, first
but
of all.
But that one's not a real superhero movie, and that's why I didn't see it.
Because he's like the bad guy? Or
no, it's like... It's like an origin story. It's not really a superhero movie.
It's almost like, yeah, it's more of like a character study.
Yeah.
No.
I want stuff blowing up and people flying and stuff.
Yeah. Like in when he was going to blow up the boat, remember? And the convicts threw the thing out the out the window of the boat. That was cool.
Like, I want real superhero stuff, not...
When he blew up the hospital?
Character
dressed
study.
Up like the nurse?
Yes, yes.
I'm assuming he's not doing a lot of that in these other ones. Is that my...
It's fair assessment.
Yeah, okay. I don't need that either.
You don't like musicals?
No, I
heard... Little culture.
This second one's a musical?
That's what I've heard.
It's borderline musical, yes.
Serious?
Yes. It's Lady Gaga.
I know, but it doesn't mean she has to sing.
Oh, she like, sings.
That's you're not going to have strange. Lady Gaga sing. What's the point?
I don't know. She's an actress.
Yeah, but she's a singer.
She's a singer first, but she's an actress too.
It's like having Drake May and not having him run.
Right. Kind of like that. By the way, that was Gerard Mayo reacting oddly to a question at the end there. He's 2-7. The New Orleans Saints are 2-7, and they just fired their head coach, Dennis Allen, who has now been fired by two different teams with the same starting quarterback. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. Dennis Allen fired from the Raiders and now fired from the Saints both times with his quarterback, Derek Carr.
Coincidence? I think not. Because I'm guessing you may come up with it in TWISM this week,
mm-hmm.
but are you following the
Michael
Thomas
yes.
stuff?
And Olave's brother, too, jumped in. Did you
see
that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Olave's like younger or older, but I don't know what he is. But someone on Twitter whose name is Olave was like, yeah, this guy's right, and he got about a million retweets.
So. Wow. I feel bad for Carr. He seems like a nice enough fellow. I don't think he's a very good quarterback.
No.
I turned on him when he threw that pick six to Kyle Duggar a couple of years ago. Remember
right
on the goal line and he just threw it right to Duggar?
I remember that, yes.
One of the worst throws I've ever seen.
It was.
But also...
Only times Duggar looks good in coverage.
Yeah, and when a guy throws it right to him, he's capable of running down the field. Also, this is the laughable, overreactionary NFL thing. Do you remember when the Saints were, like, the best offense in football?
Yeah.
They were scoring
first
points,
2 weeks,
people out.
They were, like, my big pick in all the suicide pools and everything. I was like, yeah, go Saints. And they lost.
And then they stopped playing the Panthers.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. The Panthers, who scored a win now, which is the win that ended up getting Allen fired. I mean, that's really it. You lose to the Carolina Panthers, you might get fired. And Allen found that out the hard way. That Saints team, I think, was going nowhere fast, even though they had a good start. They really seemed to fall off and have no direction after that. Those Spencer Rattler games were really bad. Carr came back and nothing really improved, and I think it's pretty much just as simple as that.
They're one of the teams that would take Drake May right now.
Oh, they definitely would. I would agree with that 100%. Would they take Bill Belichick right now?
They probably should consider it. Now, I don't think there's a team not too far from them that should still be the front runner, should still be pursuing Bill Belichick, and that's the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the Cowboys. It should be the Cowboys.
What a week they had, by the way.
Yeah.
Lose to the Falcons and Prescott's out for a month.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But if you're going to bring leadership and stability, and I mean, there's a few of these teams. We've been talking about it for a while now with Bill Belichick, and I'm starting to give up on winning my bet with Rich Keefe that he's going to coach in the NFL this year, that if somebody's going to do the in-season switch.
Okay.
I feel like we're past the midway point, running out of time. But I still have that, sort of like your theory on the Patriots at the trade deadline should get ahead of the process.
Yeah.
You still can get ahead of the process, whether Bill saves your season or not. You can, A, secure him.
Yep.
And not have to outbid him.
He gets to work with the roster, see who he wants to keep and let go and all that, and you do it in the offseason.
Instead of just watching film in January and February,
mm-hmm.
he can watch 8 games live, get to know personalities, get to know work ethics, and whatever he needs to tear down or build up, he has a head start on doing that. So I still think there should be a legitimate pursuit of Bill Belichick whenever he gets off the beach and takes his boots off and stops hooking his girlfriend for pictures or whatever, moves on from that.
I'll tell you what, that was... No one's dominated Halloween like Bill Belichick in my lifetime that I could think of.
Except.
Between the mermaid pictures, between Linda and the Kill Bill thing.
Yeah, but who dominated who there?
Well, I'm saying, like, it was her costume had something to do with him, and it was a big story.
Yeah.
The Ryan Clark with the,
the scary, the thing of nightmares.
It is kind of nightmarish, yes. But, I mean, Bill Belichick, whether he was him or not, the costumes, just so many. The whole orbit, I feel like, he just dominated the whole thing.
He did.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I ranted about it on Friday. mostly the last part. I criticize Bill. I have a hot and cold relationship with Bill and his legacy and how great, all of those things. I felt bad for the old man. Like, I felt bad for an old man. I felt like that was something where, you know how people take advantage of old people and all of a sudden, like, there's $100,000 missing or whatever? And
right.
I feel like he's being taken advantage of in a social media sense.
You think she's scamming him?
No. Not like, no, I don't think she's getting money. I just think in a social media sense, Bill, what are you doing? You are one of the more stoic, unique faces and men of this century.
Yeah, but he does things for love. You remember that Nantucket Magazine photo shoot he did with Linda? Come on.
It was not nearly as bad as this.
It was pretty bad, I thought.
This was worse than Tom Brady with baby goats. This is the worst photo I've ever seen. I felt bad for the
him
old
with
man.
The fisherman outfit.
Yes,
on?
Awful.
That was the worst picture you've ever seen.
You didn't feel like, oh my God, I feel embarrassed for him, and I'm not in the picture.
Not really.
I felt like I just don't get me wrong. I think these last two photos that she's put out, she's looked hotter than she ever has in any of the other stuff I've seen.
She's got it going on, yeah.
And when she was hooked and looking up at him, she looks hot. Don't get me wrong.
Mm.
I just felt bad for the old man. Like, I don't. Is he in on the joke? Does he think the world is laughing with him or at him?
I don't know. I don't know if he cares. I'm not sure he cares.
Fair
about
argument.
That. I think he's sort of just like, you know what? I found this hot young girl who likes me, and I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. If I was those kids, though, if I'm Steven and Brian, I'm a little worried about my inheritance these days, you know?
You probably should be.
You know? Like
you absolutely should be.
It's like a succession thing, remember? And, Logan Roy starts bringing that other girl around, and he's eating like the fertility fruits and stuff, and they're like, watch out, guys.
Well,
I mean, I'll be going to her.
If Jake in Boston is right, Linda got a house in Nantucket, right?
Yeah.
What if this one gets multiple houses in Nantucket and down goes the compound and suddenly we're not summering on Nantucket anymore as a big old Belichick clan?
Yeah, could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all out there.
I
unless he goes to New Orleans.
Well, you don't think he's going to bring her with him? He's been to New Orleans with her. That's where we first saw her, on the streets of New Orleans.
Oh, that was her, huh?
I believe so.
Was that her? I didn't even know that. Yeah, all right.
As far as I know, that was
the first time he was photographed while he was still with Linda. That's true.
And everybody around here said they were photoshopped and they were fake and they were this and they were that. There were all these excuses.
Don't you think if someone was going to do a Photoshop of Bill Belichick, it would have been better than that?
Be more interesting.
Him walking down the street with some girl next to him. Like
some random person we don't know.
No.
Like, at least make it Kim Kardashian or something. Like, if you're going to Photoshop something, do something that's fun.
Or Martha Stewart or something.
Not some
like
woman
that.
I've never seen before in my life and don't quite frankly really care about.
Yeah, well, we all care about her now.
Do we?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really?
Yep.
Because I don't.
Those pictures of, I'm convinced.
I feel like Bill Belichick's non-coaching 15 minutes of fame should be just about up.
Mm.
Go back to coaching. I think you're a great coach, and you can have all the fame and glory and everything that you ever had, but your post-football 15 minutes of fame feels like it's up.
Yeah, probably.
What do you know, hot? You never even had your 15 minutes of fame. Screw you.
The haters, they'll get all worked up.
It's probably, it's been all downhill since that ring cam video of him stumbling out the house at like 5 in the morning.
I know.
Yeah, but that was unavoidable, right? Like, that was just a natural, like, it happened. He couldn't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that he has control.
Right.
He
he's posing for these pictures.
Don't dress up in a costume and get hooked and take. There were probably professional photographers there, right? Like, he probably had to pay to have this done.
Mm-hmm.
This probably cost him money to embarrass himself all over social media.
Maybe he's going through like a crisis. Not like a midlife crisis, but maybe he's taking, you know,
three-quarter life
being fired from the Patriots, all that. Maybe he's taking it harder than we all assume.
See? Which I feel like he needs an advocate. He feels like
poor
somebody
Bill
to step
with his
in.
Hot young girlfriend. Oh, that's so terrible. Poor
but
guy.
I know.
Someone please intervene. Someone please intervene so that he's not with this hot
young
chick anymore.
I'll be that guy if you need me to. I'll call Bill and be like, Bill, this is not a good look for you. Somebody needs to help the man. This is how people get bamboozled. And then you read about it later, and somebody goes to jail for taking hundreds of thousands of dollars and screwing the old guy. Well,
you think she's going to like Anna Nicole Smith him?
I don't know what's going on, quite honestly.
That was not a euphemism, by the way. That was what, right?
And that's legit. Yes.
That's basically
what
she did.
Absolutely.
Not to speak ill of the dead here, but 617-779-7937. Quick break. We'll come back here and reset on what was a up and down day for Drake May and the Patriots on Sunday. Also, we heard from the man himself, Mr. Drake May, who joined us here earlier on in the show.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.